This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. If you use the MBTA to commute to work, you already know how long it would take to travel just a few miles. But if you're Black, chances are your commute on the MBTA is much longer than your white counterparts. A new study out of Northeastern University shows a huge racial gap among those who commute to work in Greater Boston. Joining me to talk about the results and underlying causes is Stephanie Pollack, Associate Director of Research at the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern. Stephanie Pollack, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we're curious about your commute. Black and Latino commuters, call us if this study describes your life. 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. And white commuters, your reaction to the study. Call us at 877-301-8970 or tweet us at bossradio.com, bosspubradio. And let us know what you might think, or you can write to our Facebook page. So Stephanie Pollack of the Dukakis Center, the study was focused on equitable and inequitable as it relates to transportation. So first, let's set that context. What does that mean?
So usually when we try to measure equity, you end up actually measuring disparity, differences, right? Like Black people aren't as healthy as white people, or their MCAS scores aren't as high. So when we tried to think about how you would do that for the transportation system, one thing we know a lot about is people's commutes. And so we wanted to look at how long it took people to commute, because it's a big part of everybody's day. And it also tells you not only about the transportation system, but it also tells you a lot about where people's homes are and where people's jobs are.
You came up with three main areas that you looked at that determined the outcome of the study. Let's just take them one by one. First, vehicle ownership by race. Why is that important?
So one of the things that we focus on is, do people have good transportation choices? People who don't own a car have fewer choices than people who do own a car, because they're much more dependent on transit. So Blacks in metropolitan Boston are about 20% less likely to own a car than white households. And by the way, all these are corrected for income. So it's not just because they're poorer. It's just there's lower. So it's not just that Black families have longer commutes. They're less likely to own a car, more likely to use transit. So more folks are experiencing these long commutes, and that's a concern.
The second factor that you looked at is the mode by race, the commuting mode by race.
That's right. So, about 3/4 of all whites drive to work by themselves in Boston, and that's a significant share of Black commuters as well. It's about 60%. But when it comes to using the T, only about 1 in 10 white workers use the T to get to work. It's 1 in 4 Black workers using the T to get to work. So again, it tells us that if we want to give people good transportation choices, how well the T works is really, really important to Black households.
And then the last factor you looked at is travel time disparity by race and mode.
Right. And on that one, what we found is no matter how you get to work, it takes you longer if you're Black than you're white. That's a statistically significant amount of extra time. And we all know everybody's starved for time these days. So white folks who drive have a faster commute than Black folks who drive, the same whether if you're on the subway, and the same is true if you're on the bus. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One has to do with housing affordability, because your commute, it's a function of how far you have to go and how fast you can travel. So the farther you live from where you work, you're going to have a longer commute, because the supply of affordable housing is limited, because we have still patterns of residential segregation in metropolitan Boston. Black families it's harder for them to live near where they work, so they have a bigger distance to travel. And then the second thing is they're on slower transit, as slow as all the buses are. I think the buses that serve many of the most important African-American communities in our metropolitan area are particularly bad, and sometimes people have to take more than one. They have to transfer, and that really slows your commute down.
We are talking to Stephanie Pollack. She's the Associate Director of Research at the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern. And she's just completed a study looking at commuting and the disparity in the lengths of time it takes Black and, to some degree, Latino commuters. There's more information on Black commuters than white. And that varies and is definitely a disparity, whether folks are traveling by car or are by bus. And that's one thing I wanted to pick up, Stephanie Pollack. You make the point, or the Globe in describing your study says, okay, so white commuters who drive, this seems would make sense, have the shortest trips. That's 27 minutes each way. But there's a gap even among those who have the same mode. In other words, black folks driving. Why is that?
So other work that's been done, for example, by the Metropolitan Area Planning Council shows that we still have a lot of segregation by race in our region, that African-Americans live in only a handful of communities, and many of those aren't where the jobs are. So they, even in their car, they have to cover a longer distance, and so it's going to take them longer to get to work. If we had both more affordable housing spread better around the region, and if we also thought about where jobs are in relation to where the folks who need those jobs work, we could maybe shorten those commutes.
Does this describe your commute, black commuters? Call us and let us know at 877-301-8970. White commuters, surprised by this, 877-301-8970. Give us a call or write to our Facebook page. Now, I mentioned Latino commuters, but you, in fact, focused on African-American commuters. That was the way that you looked at the gaps. But how Latinos were indirectly impacted is because you looked at the areas that are where a lot of immigrants live and commute. And so by implication, there are some people there who are Latino, but you're going to have to do another study to get at how many. In fact, here's something that I just circled because I thought it was interesting. The poorest and most densely populated stretches of Boston, according to the Globe article describing your study, is the orange and red subway lines. Now, that's mostly in Dorchester and Roxbury. That's 126,000 people, and they live more than a half mile from the nearest rapid transit station. So let's just pause there for a moment. If you're living already a half a mile from the nearest rapid transit station, you're already behind before you even get on the bus, which is then slower than the rest.
Exactly. A lot of folks live, we think of Boston as having such a great transit system, and we do have a good transit system. We think, well, of course, everybody lives near the T, so you just walk to the T and you hop on the T. But in a lot of communities of color in Boston, and not just in Boston, but in places like Chelsea and in places like Lynn, you know, they don't live near the T. And so they're either taking a longer walk, they're getting a ride, or they're taking a slow bus and to another bus or a bus to the subway system. And again, all of that makes for a very long commute. You know, a lot of folks have 2-3 different buses that they have to take from where they live to where they work.
Just in case people are thinking, okay, well, so it's a little slow. A really amazing example given by one commuter who is quoted in this piece. She takes the bus route between Ruggles and Mattapan. She got on after 5 at Roxbury Community College. She's trying to go to a meeting 4.5 miles away. That's not 40 miles away. That's 4.5 miles away, just to be clear. And it took her 1 hour and 15 minutes to get there.
And people are living with this every single day. And as much as money is really important to folks in today's economy, so is time. And so if you're spending 1 hour a day getting to and from work longer than you need to, that's 1 hour that you don't have to help your kids with your homework. It's 1 hour you don't have to go to your doctor's appointment instead of hitting the emergency room at night. All the things we want people to do to make their lives better, we're stealing their time from them by making their commutes longer. And that's why we felt it was such an important issue to highlight. People think a lot about inequity when they think about the education system, the healthcare system, jobs, housing. They don't necessarily think about it with respect to the transportation system, and we really wanted to lift that topic up.
66 extra hours by black commuters spent waiting, riding, and transferring, according to your work. I wanted to mention that you also point out, or as is pointed out here, that the blue and orange lines, and this is near the immigrant city of Chelsea, meaning that a lot of immigrants are living in Chelsea, who are also bus dependent, also behind in and slow and able to get to where they're trying to go, but same reasons.
Right. I mean, The T subway and commuter rail system works really great if you live in a neighborhood that has a commuter rail or a subway system and you're trying to get, you know, to the financial district or to Back Bay. If you live in Chelsea, if you live in Mattapan or Roxbury, and if you work in places that don't have as good transit, if you work in a hospital, if you work even at Logan Airport or in a more blue-collar setting, it doesn't work as well. And that's a problem that we need to address. And it's one of the many reasons why we need to be talking not just about keeping the T from, you know, going belly up, but actually investing in transit as a strategy for improving people's lives and our economy.
So there are legal and monetary implications from this study. First of all, it should be understood that any agency, and certainly the MBTA would be one, that receives federal funding must by law consider and make arrangements for equitable transportation. So what does it mean when you're able to document here that it's not equitable? What now happens?
So there is a federal civil rights law. It's usually referred to as Title VI, and it does apply to the MBTA. And actually, the Obama administration has just issued new rules for transit agencies because they realize that the way transit agencies have looked at this issue of transportation equity has missed the problem. And so the T, as well as other transit agencies around the country, are going to have to take a harder look at whether the services they provide are really meeting the needs both of people based on their race and as well as low-income people versus higher-income people. And so one of the things we hope our study will do is help the MBTA think differently, because they've tended to measure things like, you know, what percentage of trips get completed on time. But we're asking a much more fundamental question, which is, does the system get people from where they live to where they work well?
Grace from Boston, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio, 89.7 WGBH.
Hi, I live in Roslindale, and I take all sorts of different types of T based on what I'm in the mood for, and that's because I live in the Roslindale-West-Roxbury section. I can take the commuter rail. I can take buses. I can take the Orange Line. And I know I'm frequently in Dudley Square, and it's unbelievable how some people in South Dorchester are spending 50 minutes on a bus to get to Dudley, and then on top of that, have to transfer to other places. It's absurd, and that Fairmont line that's been around for years goes through Hyde Park, starts in Mattapan, and then speeds all the way through Upham's Corner. Only recently have they added some stations on that line. It's absurd.
So you're not surprised by this study's results?
Not at all, but it's amazing how many people that don't take the T don't believe this is a problem and are angry to discuss it. There was that article in the Globe yesterday. I think there were 400 comments, and I'd say probably 75% of them were hostile. This is stupid. Who cares? It was amazing.
What would you like to see happen if you had the ability to make something happen?
Well, I think the Silver Line should have been a train and not a bus. And I think, again, things like the Fairmont Line should be used more or promoted more. Most people don't even know that the Fairmont Line is going to stop on Talbot Street and Upham's Corner and South Bay Center, which will help a lot of people getting groceries and such.
Grace, thank you so much for the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Now, you know, Grace mentioned the Silver Line. That was supposed to be, it's called rapid bus transit. That was supposed to improve the scenario in certain communities, but it doesn't seem to have done so.
Real bus rapid transit involves giving buses unrestricted routes so that they can get where they're going without being stuck in traffic. And we really don't have that. The Silver Line isn't that. We don't have that in Boston. It's an idea that's out there. It's an idea that cities like New York and Washington, which have begun looking at where folks work and where they live and how to connect those better, are starting to use. The Silver Line is Very important bus line, carries a lot of people every day, but spends an awful lot of time stuck in traffic. If we really want to address some of this transportation inequity, we need to both improve the buses, give the buses their own bus lanes, give them, you know, put them through the lights ahead of other folks. And we do need to look at things like the Fairmont line, where there is a train that runs through communities of color, but it operates, you know, on a commuter rail schedule a few times during the morning and evening rush hour, not like a rapid transit line like the Blue Line or the Green Line.
I'm speaking with Stephanie Pollack. She is Associate Director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern. And we're talking about the study that has just come out called Staying on Track, which looks at inequitable scenarios for Black commuters versus white commuters, and the fact that Black commuters spent 66 more hours per year commuting because of certain lacks, both in the bus line, also having to do with the mode of transportation and travel time itself. Janet from Natick, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio, 89.7.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to bring up an issue. I'm out in the western suburbs, and in order to use the commuter rail, one has to get there to get a parking space somewhere around 6:30 in the morning.
Hmm.
And I know this is true in Acton. I've been talking to different people about it. So I would like to see a study done to see how many people are being crowded out of the system simply because parking has not been addressed at this point.
Mm, good question. Thank you so much, Janet. Stephanie, would that have impact?
Sure. I mean, if as a region we want as many people as possible using transit, we have to make transit better for everybody who uses the transit system. And that there is a problem on the commuter rail system with folks not having enough parking. There are problems on the subway system, and there are problems on the bus system. And as I think everybody knows at this point, you know, the T does not have the resources to run the services it has, and it hasn't even really been thinking for years about anything that takes money to make it better. So I think we have to take a step back and ask questions, whether it's how do we make the commute of a bus rider in Dudley better, or how do we help more suburbanites, you know, use commuter rail instead of driving it to their jobs every day. We're not even asking those questions because we don't have the money to make the investments that they're going to answer. And so we're hoping that our Staying on Track report, which actually looks at 36 different measurements of how well the system is doing, will inspire people to sort of ask that larger question, which is, what is the system we want? What would it cost us to get it? And then let's start addressing all of the deficiencies in the system, because it really is the economic engine of our region. It's what connects all of us to the places we need to get. And we just are not making the investments in the system that we need to make, whether that's parking spaces on the commuter rail line or better buses.
Well, of course, it's going to come back to money, and particularly what Richard Davey, the head of the MBTA, calls sustainable funding. And, you know, that's where it's going to sit. What we've seen in the conversations I've had here on Boston Public Radio with folks is that a lot of people, we're talking lawmakers now, not interested in funding the T at any great rate, because, you know, doesn't feel like that, they don't feel like that represents their constituencies. They're not impacted. And now we see that in response to your study and the story about it in the Boston Globe, that 75% of the folks who answer say this is not an issue. You know, how do you address that? Who, you know, that the inequity is not an issue?
It's a really important question. One of the responses, and this was also in our study, is people have the misimpression that the MBTA is, you know, just a money pit. And if we fix transportation, we're just fixing the T. And it's not true. Our study also actually showed that every year our highways fall farther behind on funding than the T. The operating deficit of the highway department is actually bigger than the T's operating deficit. The difference is when the highway department doesn't have enough money, it's just issuing bonds and paying for what should be in the operating budget out of bonds. So I think one of the messages for our policymakers in this state is we need to be fixing our roads and our bridges and the T and the transit systems that serve the other parts of the state. And every part of the state and every person who moves around in this state will benefit if we put more money into the system.
Stephanie Pollack, thanks for joining us. I've been talking with Northeastern University's Stephanie Pollack about the racial gap among commuters. She's a public policy professor and associate director of research at the Dukakis Center at Northeastern University. And thanks for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. Tune in tomorrow for a conversation about how urban and suburban sprawl is changing our relationship with wildlife. You can find us on the web at wgbhnews.org/BPR. I'm Callie Crossley. Boston Public Radio is a production of WGBH Radio.